middle of nowhere to the center of everywhere. It's Beneath the Surface with Sean Murphy and Corey Cooper.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Everything.
This isn't that episode yet.
No.
It's coming soon.
It's coming.
Stay tuned for You Know What Really Grinds My Gears. _ Beneath the Surface.
It's called One Old Dude and One Slightly Younger Dude. You just bitching about
at the world. Fortunate for those of you listening to our Beneath the Surface episode today, that's not today. But when it is, I think it's going to be a pretty good one. We got to make a long list of notes for our What Really Grinds My Gears episodes.
And if you guys out there have any idea, give us any ideas about like what annoys you just in the world, non-political, just talking about day-to-day activities.
Yeah, no political. We keep that out here.
Hipsters,
politics free zone. The Brooklyn Strain.
Whatever. Just send it to. I'm just curious.
Curious. Me too. I'm looking at my list that I've got now, and it's like already 10 long. And I mean, dude, if we start ranting on these.
When my brother and I don't know if I should even say this. It'll make me look like a real weirdo.
Already done that. Oh, you mean the vulgar language, the tattoos?
No, but when we were in college, or I never was in college. I just lived with him while he was in college. We had a thing called the Bullet Beggars List. And we started off because we you know, it was just people that annoyed us. Like, it might be a little kid.
Is this like Billy Madison when he had the checklist and guys?
I don't know, but this is before Billy Madison. So we started this in the late 80s. And it'd be like, God, that kid on that Oscar Mayer commercial, I want to, you know, we couldn't stand him. For whatever reason, his face just bummed us out. So we started So we had put on that list. And it got to be like, page after page, and we're like, God, we're horrible people.
I'm pretty sure every human being does that. You know, you like to think.
We did it on our wall.
Most people are like, I'm really evil. But I think everybody, the secret clique of friends and
I don't know.
Underground language.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure I'm on many people's bullet beggars list.
You're the guy.
And I'm okay with that.
You're the guy on Happy Go or Billy Madison. You know, he's putting on lipstick and he comes in and he shoots the guy and he's like, thank God I called that guy. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm Buffalo Bill.
Oh, God. Who's in your basement this week? What freak do you have strapped near to your basement walls?
The bummer about living in Florida near the beach is I can't have a basement.
You'll get water, man. So, we just ruined our segue into this episode.
Now we're gonna get back to wholesome things, inflatables.
Yeah, but this is cool because I think you're probably a very good catalyst in the development and inspiration of us wanting to make inflatable products. So setting the tone here, you know, over the last several years, we've really transitioned the business into selling products that are made from, you know, inflatable materials, specifically drop stitch, which is, it makes up, you know, 95% of all of our inflatable products. And I mean, dude, there are endless multitudes of reasons why we've started, you know, really focusing and making more inflatable products. But I want to start on the other side of that, on where we started the business product wise, and then why the inflatables have been so attractive. Then we can talk about the inflatables and their function in current form and fashion. So when you met us, 2013 or whatever, I mean, we were all epoxy stand-up paddleboards. You know, your traditional, the way you make surfboards, right? Mm-hmm. You've got your foam core, you've got your, you know, epoxy resin, two-part catalyst. You'd have your, you know, layers of fiberglass. And in this case, I think we were using other medium. We were using, you know, blended commingled and negro with fiberglass. We were using carbon fibers. But in a nutshell, it's a thermoset, right? Mm-hmm. Your fiberglass cloth, your resin, do several layers over it, sand, polish, paint, you know, do all your inlays.
Big. Heavy.
Heavy. Well, I mean, they weren't
not that
for the
heavy,
size.
But 14 foot anything is it easy to
But
throw
look,
around.
It was, it's, yeah, I'm not going to call it ancient technology. The thermoset part of it was pretty, you know, relic, if you will. But I mean, we used very modern resins, good fabrics. But as anything giant and somewhat fragile, I mean, it's you particularly would destroy everything that you touched. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, think about it. You put these on your car, you're dropping them off your car. I'm sounding like I'm an advocate not for owning a hardboard, but I'm not. Trust me, hardboards paddle insane. But
yeah, my wife asked me, one of the questions at Morrison Springs I just talked about on our other podcast is we were just at Morrison Springs the other day, and I was having a hard time doing our photo shoot because I had to, it was awesome to talk to a bunch of fans and that love boatboards. They're asking me a lot of questions, and my wife came up to me, and the question she was getting while I was out on the boards, she was fielding questions. She's like, I'm learning a lot today. She's like, is a hardboard faster than an inflatable? Like, people were asking that question.
Yep.
And I was explaining, yes, because of the tracking and the hull design and the weight, and there's many factors in that. Even though today I'm about 50% hard, 50% inflatable, just because I love inflatables. Because of their weight and their how easy they are for me to roll up and take places. I love a hardboard just because they're just a better platform for what I like to do, which is fishing. And although I do fish off the, our inflatables and just equally as good. But when I'm fishing, I get up in some crazy stuff.
Look, and I mean, to the lineage of our brand, I mean, we developed, even the brand name Boat, that was my first thought when seeing somebody using a stand-up paddleboard. I'm like, man, if you made these slightly more versatile and usable, it becomes your personal boat, And so if we just started with inflatables, I think the whole thing would have been weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't have had the right trajectory. And what I liked about the way we started on hardboards was that it allowed some of that more vintage vibe and inspiration, with the wood inlays, the traction pads, the way that the whole brand vibe. We derive that from the hardboards. So without those, our identity, I don't think, would exist now. And even on our first inflatables, when we started making inflatables, 99% of them were white. Other manufacturers were white or solid colors.
I think when I first started working with you, it was before I was officially part of the team.
Yep.
I was just wanting to be. And I remember I called you and said, I'm in town. Is there anything you need shot? And I was at that point kind of more of an irritation to you than anything because I just wanted to hang out. And you're like, yeah, I got this inflatable board. Come pick it up.
Yep.
And you were out here in Destin somewhere. And I'd only been to that warehouse only one. It was somewhere weird. But anyway, I picked that board up. I remember taking it into the woods.
You're talking about our first drift inflatable. Yes. It was the first wood inlay inflatable.
Yeah, and shot it in some rope.
You shot it in the pines, in the palmetto bush.
Cool.
And when when I wanted to replicate our spirit from the hardboards into I call it the soul. You know what I mean? Like putting that aesthetically attractive soul into the inflatables. For me, it was what gave me the I guess I'd call it the peace of mind to say, all right, this is something we can do because we can make it look cool. We can make it be on brand. The whole nine yards there. But I'll tell you, it was a learning experience, man. I mean, developing the processes to create the wood inlay and the inflatables. We were the first people to do it. I mean, we had developed roller molds. We had to develop the two-part lamination process of printing on the backside of a different cleared substrate surface that was then laminated to the PVCs. Mm. Experienced a whole lot of different challenges in making this work because, the inflatable boards use, different sorts of welding processes to adhere all the layers together. So it wasn't like inlaying, a fabric or a wood in the hardboards. This had to be carefully thought about and implemented. And I remember the first one we did. We did a video after your shoot. It was we were replicating the Southern Comfort video of the guy sitting in the chair, just drinking Southern Comfort. And the idea was it was a camera zooming in on this board laid sideways. And when it got up close, the board deflated because you couldn't tell from a top view that it was an inflatable board because of the wood inlay, the deck pad, and all that stuff, which to me was the beauty of it, right? And that's what I said. I want to make an inflatable board that nobody from the surface looking at it can tell it's inflatable. So that meant the way it paddled, the rigidity, the pressures of the board, all the way down to the aesthetics. And I knew if we could achieve that, then we could take that category and expand it, right? So starting there, you know, really having that first board was a catalyst to the idea of, you know, expanding our inflatable lines in our business. And I'll, from a business perspective, inflatables offer, they're a huge advantage, man, for both sides, for the customer experience and from the business operational side of things. For those of you in podcast land, you know, in the internet world listening to this, you can imagine shipping, you know, our 12-foot boards, our 10-foot boards.
14-foot.
14-foot boards. They all go LTL freight, you know, meaning a freight truck pulls up to our warehouse every day. We load these things in with forklifts. They have to go through freight docks, different freight pallets, you know, pallets all over the country, exchange docks three or four times before they hit your doorstep. They've exchanged hands four times. Now, these guys in the warehouses that touch all these products, let's just say they don't really care if they make it unscathed or not, right? They just, that's their job, man, picking it up with forklifts, moving it. And so the side of the business there on hardboards, especially scaling it direct consumer and with our dealers nationwide, even moving different distribution centers regionally, you had these loading docks and these different costs associated with it. To get a board to a consumer undamaged is like
running a gauntlet.
It is like running a gauntlet. And it's something we face every day because it's on the consumer side. If the board shows up damaged, they think it was us. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, but we palletize these things. We strap them to wood pallets that we custom build. You know, all the board packaging, everything, the whole nine yards when it leaves our building is tip top. It can look like it went through a bone shredder by the time it gets to a, you know, no box.
Well, first they have to get to us.
Saying the cost. So the cost associated with that and the customer experience on the business operation sides are really challenging.
Yeah.
You know, we offer free shipping online. Anybody listening to this, go buy. I can tell you one thing. It's not free for us. It's like $250 on average to ship a hardboard to a customer. So we're eating a lot. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To make sure that experience is pretty solid. Now, the positives. The hardboards are beautiful. They look like works of art. When they, I have them hanging on my walls. I would never hang an inflatable on my wall. Maybe I would. But they're all, I got hardboards in my house. All of our old, like, icons are also hardboards.
Yeah.
People, our customers get them. You know, we see on social media, they reply, these look like works of art. You know, I don't want to use it. And so you got that element of the hardboard. The tactile feel is insane. Functionality is insane. I mean, using a hardboard is the best. You know, paddling it. I don't mean using, excuse me. I used the wrong word because use is everything. Paddling a hardboard is the best. Now, the downside of the hardboards is transporting them to a certain area. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have somewhere to transport it if you're going to move them. You got to have roof racks. Got to have a truck. You got to then carry it. You know, if you're carrying it in tight spots, getting to the area you want to paddle, it's a little more challenging. And this applies to kayaks, boards, anything. Flip side of that is why we invented the inflatables and why we've really been pushing these. They're very serviceable from us from a brand perspective. You know, we can they ship parcel, so we can use platform businesses like FedEx and UPS. We can scale our direct consumer business, being able to service those products. And if there's any challenges with them, we can replace them pretty cost effectively and bring back, you know, any products. On the customer side, as you mentioned earlier, they fit in a bag, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put them in your car trunk. You could put them in your closet. You can take them anywhere. You can fly with them.
Yeah. Our buddy, Ambassador Chris Taloa, the actor, Crazy Chris, yeah, that lives in Los Angeles from Hawaii. He calls me daily, but he called me 2 days ago. Man, what's up with these breeze? He wants a breeze. Yeah. And I'm like, you want a breeze? Like, breezes are one of our inflatables and it's
super light.
Super light, lighter than the other ones, maybe slightly less durable, better price point for the consumer. And he really wants that one because he's going to Samoa, and he's like, dude, I can put that in my, you know, carry it so easily, and yep, he's fired up about this breeze. I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's he, crazy. Right now he has, I think a hard, I don't know what he has right now. Maybe he has a Rover. I don't know. But anyway, he wants a breeze.
Yep.
And people are fired up, and I'm, you know, they're just easy. Sometimes it outweighs the, you know, other.
Well, the easy element, the functional element, man. I mean, we started when we started going to Belize, doing those shoots, doing a lot of traveling shoots, is really when my mind on the inflatables started going, dude, this is the ticket. I mean, you give up a little bit of paddling, you know, high-end, top-level performance.
If you're in a really windy scenario, that's in open water, you know, that's where I find
I wouldn't want to go paddle the Everglades for 4 days on an inflatable.
No, no. And you know what I mean? Wind and current.
I just wouldn't. You know? It just, not only would it not be, it just wouldn't feel right. You know, I would be in my mind thinking about different things, like, oh, what if an alligator bites this thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, not like it's going to do... The hardboard is the way to go there. Now, if I was going, if I was flying to the Everglades to go paddle around Everglades City for a day, I'd use an inflatable, no doubt. Or if I was traveling in and had luggage and just wanted to day paddle, I'm going inflatable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, something I don't think enough people talk about is the ability to travel with inflatables. If you're, you know, if you live in the Midwest or if you live in the Northeast where you can't paddle year round, the inflatables are great because if you vacation in Florida, if you fly, carry them with you. If you drive, you can bring them with you. Instead of renting them for days at a time, and I mean, renting a board costs anywhere from, you know, $150 a day to $400 a day, depending on where you go. So you can skip all that mess. Here's a sales pitch. Skip all that and buy one before you go.
Yeah.
The other thing with inflatables, and it's particularly the way that we've developed our technology with the drop stitch, is that they're incredibly durable. You know, and I'm speaking to you here. You would bring back hardboards that you look like you ran over a dump truck with.
Magda was over at my mom's house the other day, and I have my rack of my hardboard out there. And she's like, oh, are you really taking care of your... I mean, it looks like you dropped it out of an airplane. But, man, that's just how I beat the crap out of all my stuff. But I can tell you that they are durable. Until recently, I had my original... Realtree HD, it got stolen, but I've had it since our very first shoot in like 2013.
Give a shot. Where did it get stolen at? We need somebody hunting this
Taquito
guy down.
Taquito Bayou. Somebody came up in my yard and stole my original
2013 Realtree HD.
I've had it until now. It just got stolen, and that thing, I use it every day, beat the crap out of it. And I don't think I've ever even had to repair it. It's crazy.
Dude, I have three hardboards sitting on my dock for five years. They're in perfect condition. I mean, they're sunbaked.
I leave them out in the sun. Yeah, they get sunbaked and they're not so pretty anymore. But
dude, anything you leave in the sun. I have a boat that is, you know, was brand new, a boat, not a board, an actual boat, you know, pretty high-end reputable manufacturer that instantaneously gets problems in the sun. Anything that touches salt water or water in general, what is the boat? Break out another thousand? That's what it stands for.
I think also if you're not familiar with drop stitch, because I know what it is because I work here, but
so I'll describe it for you.
Yeah, please.
So drop stitch, if for those of you imagining, say you take a book, right? A thick book. And instead of the pages running linear in the book, the pages run vertical so that you can't pull the two halves of the book apart. So the top surface is stuck to the bottom surface connected by pages. That's the way our inflatables are built, except instead of pages, it's tiny threads. So when you expand the bottom surface and the top surface expands above it, there's a million little threads connecting the top and the bottom so that it won't balloon. You know, it keeps the surface flat with each other, parallel to each other, and it creates a high pressure. So, you know, if you think of most people, when they hear the word inflatable, they think pool toy, pool float. Those things are less than one PSI.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you blow them up with your lungs.
Ours are 14.
14, 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can run a car over these things.
We've done it.
We've done it. We've got videos. Yeah. We did Facebook Lives running over it. Yeah. We've got videos running over it with a car. The word inflatable is actually a bad word. It's more like a compressed air chamber. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, it's inflatable because there's air inside of it, and it goes from not having anything in it to inflated. But it's like an air tank. You know, I mean, my air compressor sometimes is at 40 PSI. This is air compressor level shit, you know, tire level stuff. So people always, they confuse the word inflatable and they think pool float, rubber ducky, you know, giant flamingo. We did come up with a new word. We call them aero. We call them our aero technology here.
Yeah.
You know, it's our drop stitch aero boat technology because the word inflatable is like, I don't know, it's like poison. You know, it does the wrong thing. And so recently, you know, what have we done with our inflatable technology? We started with boards, and I'm not going to take the credit for this, but, you know, a lot of members in our business saw how valuable and how applicable inflatable technology could be in other products. And we jumped quickly into some lifestyle elements, man. We made the chairs. Those of you that are familiar with our Aero chair, it is a great option for basically replacing beanbag chairs, any sort of beach chairs. You know what I'm talking about. You can use that thing everywhere.
Beach, yeah, and our docks, which are extremely one of my favorite things.
It's the floating square.
Floating square, and Corey and I are looking at each other a year ago, and it's like, man, all that. And for you that don't know Corey, he's an engineer. He sits. And I don't understand anything he does. He sits in front of a computer and just invents insanity and then hand builds machinery.
I'm less of an engineer and more of an artistic creator.
Yeah, so whatever. I don't understand. I just take the pictures. But so we looked at each other and he's like, yeah, our most popular thing now is a floating square.
Yep.
But
floating square.
It seems basic enough, but the technology behind it inside that square are pretty impressive.
And it's awesome, dude. I mean, when I got my farm, I've got a 30-acre pond on it. And this was back before we created the dock. I'm like, man, I want to create a floating dock out there. And I'm thinking about getting these, you know, rotomolded air pontoons and building a deck over it. The amount of nightmare that was going to be to build this temporary dock. And that's one of the reasons I thought about it. I'm like, man, it'd be killer to have just like a temporary dock, a portable dock, you know, 10-foot. And you can sit on chairs and hang out there and let the kids get on and off of it. I mean, that's kind of where that idea drove from. Very simple, using drop stitch.
Talk about real quick, because, you know, this isn't a downside. It's just a common sense thing. Like with these inflatable anything, like you back to the sun thing, you don't. I've made the same mistake. You can't blow anything up to a high PSI and expect to leave it in changing weather conditions, out in the sun, in the heat, and then go into cold water and take it out. And you know, so if you're at, say, like living on a lake or whatever, and you're going to use these things and not use them for periods of time, let a little bit of air out when you're storing them. You know, 5, 10, 6 PSI. Let it out. So they don't expand in the weather conditions.
They don't get stress fatigue. They don't expand and contract. Exactly, expand and contract.
Because what's going to happen is there's going to be a weak.
You just get fatigues.
You're going to get a blowout.
Yeah, anything. Eventually. I mean, honestly, I do. I recommend. I keep all my inflated boards inflated if I'm not traveling with them. You know, if I've got the space, I just keep it inflated. Yep. And to your point, you know, I basically keep it at like 7 to 10 PSI and then top it off when I want to go paddle. Yep. So I'll pump it up to 15. And then if I'm done and I'm not going to be using it, just let a little air out with a valve, bam, you're ready to rip next time.
But worst case scenario, my electrician that does a lot of work on my house came to me. He was giving me some crap. Oh, my inflatable board blew up and I haven't had it that long. And he brought it over and it was, all right, I think the first one we've ever made. And so I was like, yeah, this thing's like 6 years old.
8 years old.
And whatever. And so he had a blowout. And Harry, one of our ambassadors who also fixes boards, has the technology to now fix these inflatable boards, just fixed his board. And the thing looks like you threw a hand grenade inside of it. And so we have also the worst case scenario is there's technology to get them fixed if you have a person that knows how to do it. So,
yeah,
I mean,
boards are just from a business and user side of things. I mean, the boards, inflatable technology is awesome. I mean, we're expanding into kayaks, a lot of different kayak models coming out inflatables. It's just lighter. They're more portable. They're easier to store. It makes having the rigid ones seem so cumbersome, you know, particularly on the kayak side. I mean, that's a big problem with kayaks. They're like 150 pounds, man.
You can't. I watch these guys at the beach with these. I won't say the name brand.
Just rotomolded kayaks.
Rotomolded kayaks. I see them lug it. I mean, I'll go out fishing. And I'll go fishing. I'll see a guy right as I'm pulling out. He'll be pulling it out of his truck. I come back in from fishing. Out like 2 hours later, the dude's finally got his Garmin Goobly set up.
It looks like a boat.
10,000 rods. I'm like, dude. Like, I mean, that it just seems like a nightmare to me.
It's not simple.
It's not
simple.
It's the
inverse of what I want to do.
Yeah, yeah. But in terms of paddle boards, I have both. You know, and for different.
That's a sales pitch. There you go. Get both.
I have both for different reasons. I have the hardboard lives at my house, and that's my board that I use close to home for fishing, for long excursions. And I'll be honest, the inflatables I have, I use them for everything else. I keep them in my truck, rolled up.
Yep.
The one I have looks like it's a gazillion years old because it's mine.
Dude, your brand new truck looks like it's a gazillion years old.
Does it really?
Yeah. You opened it. I was looking at the door at our last photo shoot. It's what, 7 months old?
A year old? Has 26,000 miles
on it. Good God, dude.
That's a shout out to I got the new Chevy Colorado diesel. Man, 26,000 miles on it. It's a year old. Does it really look beat up?
The inside. It looks like he threw a mud hand grenade out in there.
But the inflatable that I've been using, it's been around me for a few years. It's got mold all over it. It lives in the shade by my mom's house. I pumped it up. I was scared. I pumped it up the other day. I hadn't pumped it up in 2 years.
Damn, dude.
Pumped it up to 13 PSI. Perfect.
Ready to rip.
Perfect. Ready to rip.
Ready to rip, tater chip.
That's it.
Cool. Well, I hope this was an interesting episode for you guys and some theory and philosophies of our inflatable development. I mean, we skipped around a lot there. Didn't really get it hauled into it. But
no, it's just awesome technology. And if you have any questions, really, you know who knows a lot about inflatables? Susie. Email Susie Hunt at SusieBoatBoard.com.
Susie or Zach at BoatBoard.com.
Zach at BoatBoard.com. He knows
all the ins and outs.
You call him, you text him. I'll give you his phone number.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us again. Hope you guys found this informative. This was our informative session, even though we started off with what really grinds my gears. That's coming up soon. Stay tuned for more Beneath the Surface. Thanks for listening. Give us a shout out on social media. Sean, where can they find you? Murphy Photo at Instagram.
That's right. And if you have any, but a lot of people contact me directly about our products because I use them every day and take pictures of them. So you can ask me anything on Instagram and I'll be sure to get right back to you.
Thanks, guys. We're out.